Welcome to Eliminating Barriers. This is our virtual summit by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce you, the amazing Miss Barbara Ingracia. Barbara, why don't you take it from here?
Thanks so much, Tanya. Thanks for this opportunity to share with your audience and help them become aware of potential barriers and plan how to reduce them down to a manageable size. You know my motto is manage copyright, don't let it manage you. And so I'm Barbara Ingracia of Manage Copyright, you know, copyright law, the C in the circle. And this can be an area of compliance that is easy to overlook in business. So let's view this opportunity today to plan, anticipate, and avoid those potential barriers that are posed by copyright. And how you can use copyright law as a tool to achieve your goals. It doesn't have to be a big, bad, meanie thing. Copyright law can be our friend. So, today I'll be sharing information. This is not legal advice, and should you need legal advice, please consult an appropriate attorney. So, in business, we have a great idea for a business. We see a need. So we start the process, getting licenses, doing the paperwork. We start gathering the physical property that we need, the space, the equipment, the supplies, perhaps inventory of product. So those are physical property, things that we can touch, we can feel, we can, hit, bang around. Whatever, it's physical. Then we'll be starting to create our public presence, a website, marketing materials, getting our name out there. Then we start creating our public presence. Beyond that, we're taking those steps beyond physical property and licenses and registrations and regulations. We're building our brand. We want our name to be unique. Lots to think about, new territory. So now that's venturing into the world of intellectual property. That is property of the mind. Now in our culture, our science and technology, and yes, our businesses begin with an idea, comes out of our mind. But we take action on those ideas. We express them in some fixed way, an invention or a process, a work of art, a photo, a song, a story, an article. So ideas are not protected by law at all until they are expressed and fixed in a tangible form. Just as we have laws protecting physical property, don't damage, don't steal, or there are consequences, we have legal protection for intellectual property. We know them as patent, trademark, copyright. All are forms of legal protection for intellectual property. We know a patent protects an invention for a period of time. A trademark protects our brand, our logo, as long as we continue to use it and pay renewal fees. A copyright protects works of authorship, and we'll talk about what that means in a minute. And that goes on for, right now, life of the author plus 70 years, and in a corporate setting, 95 years or 120, depending on when it was created or when it was released. So these protections of intellectual property laws, they give the creator exclusive rights to use and profit from their creation for a period of time. So these are limited monopolies. They encourage creation, getting those ideas out of the mind and into the world. While we may be involved in patenting an invention, design, or process, most of us are more likely to have a trademark, our logo representing our brand. And on a daily basis, we're very likely to encounter situations of copyright law. Now, we know there are many regulations we must comply with as businesses, federal, state, local, professional, such as OSHA, minimum wage, exit signs clearly visible, recertification, posting our licenses on the wall, various things. And, you know, you see those big posters in employee staff rooms. You know, here are your rights. Well, being copyright compliant, I like to classify right along with those other regulations. We don't see it posted in businesses, but I like to classify that as the same thing. Copyright is that important and can seem like a barrier if we haven't planned ahead. I consider copyright in the digital age to be like a gray, murky ooze, and that definitely can hide barriers. Let's look at some strategies for anticipating and avoiding and reducing copyright barriers that could block our business success. How do we encounter copyright law in our professional and personal lives too? What's the big deal about copyright? Well, first, what does copyright protect? Copyright protects original works of authorship that have been fixed in a tangible medium. Now, original works of authorship make us think of books and articles, magazines. It's not just written works, but also music and music recordings, films, images, photos, paintings, drawings, sculpture, even choreography and computer programs. Those fit the definition, when they fit that definition of being original, creative, fixed in a tangible medium. And that fixation doesn't have to be on paper. It can also be online, in audio, in video. To put this in a business perspective, websites, blogs, newsletters, marketing materials, audio, video, databases are eligible for copyright protection. And as I mentioned, copyright protection lasts for a very long time. In the case of copyright, the owner's exclusive rights include the right to copy or reproduce the work, distribute the work, modify it to create derivative works, perform publicly, or display publicly. And we get the term copyright from that right to make a copy. And today, there are so many ways that we copy. We scan, we create PowerPoint slides, we send over the internet, we print, so that there are many ways to make a copy in this digital age, and that can be kind of confusing for us. We are all creators and consumers of copyright-protected content, and it's important that we consider these exclusive rights as we build our websites, create our marketing materials, our brochures, etc. Now, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, you know, creating all that we need from scratch. We don't have the time or the money, and frankly, we don't have to. We know that there is an abundance of materials out there, and with the growth of the internet and digital technology, we can find it easily. It is so easy to search, copy, paste, and ultimately send out into the world in one form or another on our website, our marketing materials, etc. It's a treasure trove, and we love exploring and grabbing what we like. It seems like it's all floating out there in cyberspace, just waiting for us to grab it. But remember, that content probably is protected by copyright. And as you recall, the copyright owner says how it can be used. Those exclusive rights that last for many years to copy or reproduce, to distribute, to modify, to perform publicly or display publicly. And so when we want to use it on a website, we are copying and probably also distributing. So here's an important strategy, and maybe it's the most important one today. Always assume a work is protected by copyright until you can determine otherwise. If you didn't create it, it's not yours to freely use. How would we determine if a work is protected by copyright? You know, we have assumed that it is until we can determine otherwise. So how can we determine the otherwise? You know, that we find that perfect picture, that article that just explains it all so well. What seems most obvious as a way to determine copyright status is to look for a C in a circle, you know, a copyright notice. C in a circle, a year, the name of the copyright owner, and oftentimes the phrase, all rights reserved. Now that step may have actually been ingrained in us by teachers and professors over the years, but there's a barrier. Since 1989, the copyright notice is no longer required. The moment a type of work that qualifies for copyright protection, the minute it is original, creative, and fixed, it's automatically copyrighted, period. Even doodles on a paper napkin can be considered copyrighted. Well, so, okay, we don't see a copyright notice, so we don't know what's going on with this work. Then you might decide to search the records of the U.S. Copyright Office. That's an online collection of the applications and awards of copyright. Another potential barrier here is that database is no longer a reliable source because, guess what? Since 1989, application and registration of a copyright through the U.S. Copyright Office is not required either. So we don't see a C in a circle. We can't look in an official database to find out if it's copyrighted and who owns it. So, you know, arg. Now what can we do to see if something is protected by copyright? On a website, we can scroll down to the bottom of the screen and look for a link to the word copyright or the phrase terms of use. I know it's a fine print and it's ugly and it's legalese and it's not fun, but we need to do it. And you will probably find what the owner's rules are for the use of the content on that page. And you find that on pages with photos and articles as well. If it says you cannot copy or reproduce by any means without permission, it will also indicate how to seek permission. So I hear you saying, I can't do that. I don't have the time or the money to go through that permissions process. Does that mean that I can't use anything from the net? That perfect picture, that article, that video? Well, it depends. There are other ways to legally use content from the internet or any other resource. Some content does not qualify for copyright protection. Data, titles, facts, slogans, although sometimes those have been trademarked. More good news, works created by U.S. government employees as part of their job description are not protected by copyright. Works created by U.S. government employees as part of their job description are not protected by copyright. Government documents are the original treasure trove. You know, there are works on topics from farming and gardening to baby and child care. And those are all in the public domain. Many of those resources are now easily available on the internet at .gov sites. A caution though, some works on .gov sites were not created by federal employees and were licensed so that we could see them and have access to them. So again, look for a notice to be sure. Another option is looking for works in the public domain. We've got the U.S. government works in the public domain, but there are non-government works that fall into the public domain. That is, their copyright has expired. So check when the work was published. In the United States right now, the copyright has expired on anything published before 1923. That means it's in the public domain and can be used in any way that you want. And so that, before 1923, is an important rule of thumb. As we're talking in 2018, that is still the rule, and we're expecting come 2019 and 2020 that year will shift. You can use works from the public domain in any way. No permissions required. No attribution is required, although it's generally a good idea to give credit where credit's due. So, for example, works of Shakespeare are in the public domain. The sheet music of Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms are in the public domain. However, especially with music, just because something is from pre-1923, you know, the original work, the sheet music, most recordings by orchestras, etc., are under copyright and will be for at least 20 more years. There are very few recordings, if any, that were published prior to 1923. So you could get the sheet music and perform it, but you cannot play someone else's recording. Another excellent option is to avoid the copyright question altogether. Why didn't we start with that? Provide a link, a URL, to the resource. That URL is a fact, like a bibliographic entry or an address, and providing a URL saves your space too. When the user clicks on the URL, they have access, and then they have to practice good copyright behavior. So this clue is think link. If you can provide a link, do so. Now, you may be asking, what about images, photos, drawings, illustrations, graphs? They do really enhance a website, a brochure, but how to find them? Of course, they're all over the internet, but again, most of them are protected by copyright. This image and copyright is probably the most common copyright pothole we can fall into. We may not even realize that we have fallen into that pothole until we get a letter in the mail from an attorney who's not our attorney. The attorney alleges that we have used the client's content without permission, oftentimes an image. That letter usually demands that you cease and desist, stop using the content, remove it from the website, and destroy any printed material. If it's printed materials that have already been distributed, they may demand payment, sort of a retrospective license payment. Now that just makes my heart skip a beat, and I imagine it would yours as well. They may even threaten legal action. You can find photos and images that are free to use. Again, consider public domain resources. And there are many, many more sites now with public domain images and photos. Pixabay is one example where photographers have dedicated their work to the public domain. You don't have to wait for 1923. But when searching the web, the wide web, you want to limit your search to materials, in this case photos, that allow commercial use. So you can click on a box on Google Images or Flickr and set that limit. An aggregation of sites is at creativecommons.com, and those are provide various sites where you can look for Creative Commons licensed materials. They are not public domain, but they are licensed by the owner to let us use them for free as long as we abide by the license terms. So again, be checking the boxes that filter the results to allow you to do what you want to do. You must always give credit attribution, link to the original, and link to the license terms. And of course, you can consider taking your own photos. We spoke earlier of good copyright behavior. We could call it copyright compliant behavior. It's important to plan, have best practices and procedures in place. Avoid the crisis of the barrier by thinking about how you and your business will use copyright protected content. It is content that you did not create. That is copyright protected content. So just as you put procedures in place in other areas of your business, how to comply with OSHA and you know, various things, do this for copyright also. Think about when you want to find content, what do you need and how do you want to use it? What is your search strategy, your preferred flow chart of work? Will you place U.S. government and public domain works as your first choice? Will you use Creative Commons licensed works? Will you search for works published prior to 1923? Will you provide a URL, a link, whenever possible and practical, think link? Will you seek permission or a license or pay for content? Is that a possibility for you? And if so, who will decide? Who will decide that this item is worth paying for permission? And how much is worth paying? Or will we look for something else? Who will be the resource person for questions about copyright in your organization? It doesn't have to be an attorney, just someone who knows some basics and can sort of be the focal point, the point person. Who will review your website, marketing materials, etc., for copyright compliance? Thinking about these questions in advance will help us avoid surprise barriers when all is relatively calm. Being able to think it through when it's not a crisis is a good thing. And so once you've created your best practices and put them in writing, train staff members so they can be copyright compliant as they do their work for your business. Knowing copyright basics and your best practices and procedures will help them. But there is another very important issue to consider. We've been talking about being a consumer of others' works and the potential barriers and how to avoid them. But we also create original content that may be eligible for copyright protection. we can employ some of the strategies that we've already talked about to protect our original content. And our original content is our gold mine. You know, we have put our time and sweat and tears and ideas into this. This becomes our gold mine. First of all, within the, your organization, make it clear in writing who owns the copyright to works created for your company. Now, that may seem obvious, but don't assume that people know. Be clear to employees, volunteers, interns, subcontractors about who owns the rights to content. This is a case in which you're not going to assume everyone knows. Put it in writing. So we're planning how to guard your gold mine. Not everyone out there will be as conscientious as you are about being copyright compliant. You probably know people whose content has been stolen and used without permission, credit, or even a link, much less paying for it. You may have experienced that yourself. It's awful. Feelings range from surprise to annoyance to anger and beyond. And then you may have to take time and money to defend your gold mine. What strategies can we use to reduce the risk of theft of these valuables that we have created? First of all, put a copyright notice on all of your work. You know, see in a circle, year, the name of the copyright holder, and we're going to say that it's the name of your business. All rights reserved. Put these on your website, your blog posts, your photos, your articles, everywhere. And then adding an email address to request permission really informs the user, really puts them on notice that this work is protected, but that there are ways to get permission. They can't go ahead and then say, I didn't know it was copyright protected. This putting them on notice is important. Who in your organization is going to receive and review those requests for permission? And do you have a standard license agreement ready? And you don't have to charge for the license, but it's good to have, again, thought that through. Your work is valuable. Now, make sure your website includes a notice, a copyright notice, on it. And then the section for terms of use that spell out clearly how content on your site can be used. This is really contract law rather than copyright law, but it is a vital component. And of course, you have also your disclaimer and your privacy policy posted there. Seriously consider registering your automatic copyright with the U.S. Copyright Office. It is inexpensive and can easily be done online. That filing creates a dated, searchable public record. Perhaps more important, your copyright must be registered before you can take an infringer to court. Your damage award can be greater as well. So we've covered a lot of ground today. And before I summarize, I want to thank you for your attention as we crawled through the great murky ooze that is copyright and reduced some barriers down to a tiny mound, or at least we know where they are so that we can plan to go around them. Knowledge is power. I encourage you to visit my website, ManageCopyright.com. That's ManageCopyright.com. ManageCopyright.com. And grab my free ebook, The 10 Biggest Copyright Mistakes Anyone Can Make That Can Land You in Court. That will review many of the points we've discussed today. And I welcome your comments, your questions, and your feedback. and I'm at barb@managecopyright.com. So for a quick summary,